Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. Somebody say, get ready. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. We're on our fourth session in possess, and we've got one more next week. Possess, living in the promised land. You may be seated. Just to catch everybody up here, seconds. Session one, we talked about you've always had it, but this is the year you will hold it. That everything that God has promised you, everything that needs to be done on His end has been done. It's now up to us to bring it out of the spirit world and into our world, make it a manifestation or reality. Session two, we talked about pivot to possess, turning from what is dead to what is alive, turning from what is old to what is new. You cannot focus on the new if you're continually looking in your rearview mirror over your shoulder. We talked about God requires action first, and then He gives direction. I believe that a lot of believers are missing God's best for their life because they're expecting God to give direction, and then they will give action. And God says, no, I need to see some faith. And faith is moving before you have all of the direction. In the last session, we talked about how we treat our boundaries in our life shows our level of maturity. That there are blessings in the boundaries. That there are blessings when God tells us not to do it. It's not because he's being mean, and it's not because He doesn't want us to live a good life. It means that He knows what's on the other side of that fence. He knows what's on the other side of the boundary. And He said, if you just stay in here, I'll bring the blessing to you. You know, there's a big, big problem with a lot of people that chase after things. If you chase after women, you're probably going to catch the wrong one. If you chase after money, you're going to get enough money to mess you up. And so I don't want to chase things. I want to get to the place where I just speak it into existence, and God brings it to me within the boundaries. And then we talked about all of the promises of God that are still in effect. And so Joshua is getting ready to lead. And as I was praying just this afternoon about tonight, I said, God, we're four sessions into this tonight, and this is a series on possess, and we're still talking about preparation. And this is what God told me. Possession is the easy part. It's the preparing to possess that's hard. Most of the reasons that we do not possess in life and maintain good health and healthy relationships and make enough money to where we're not always under stress and fulfill purpose in ministry and bring vision to pass that God has given, most of the time is because we get hype about possessing it, but we don't take the work and responsibility that we need to put in to prepare ourselves so that when we get to that place and we speak, the world begins to put out and bring into fruition what God has called us to have. And so here in verse 1 through 5, we've talked about God moving from Moses to Joshua and reminding Joshua of the promise. And then in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, God says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. An inheritance means all you have to do is claim it, possess it, that you're not going to have to work to produce it. You're just going to have to possess it. Come on, somebody. Only be thou strong and very courageous. There it is again, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from to the right hand or to the left, so that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. You shall meditate day and night, days other than Sunday and Wednesday. We ought to be in the book, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You will have good success. Finally, in verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Seven commands, and I mentioned these a few services ago, seven commands that God gives us right here to prepare to possess in the wilderness. He gives us these commands so that we can get ready. Number one is be strong. Number two is be courageous. Number three is do the word. Number four is don't get distracted. Number five is meditate on the word. Number six is don't be afraid. Number seven is don't be discouraged. Now check this out. There's seven of those. Until we become proficient in all of these seven and do them with some level of consistency, God is not going to give us the okay to go to the promised land. God does not want us to live in the promised land without possessing what's in the promised land, because it leads to a life of frustration. Have you ever been around somebody who is frustrated and their frustration annoys you? And their frustration, if you stay around them long enough, you begin to get frustrated. Because birds of a feather flock together, meaning when you're around miserable people, if you don't get them out of their misery, they'll drag you into their misery. I saw it on social media the other day. Make sure that you're strong enough not to be pulled into someone else's storm, but allow God to help you pull them into your peace. But if you don't, if you know that you're not strong enough, you better get around people in your life that can pull you to where they are and not you, not have you get out of place and out of position. But God says, I'm not taking you to the promised land until you're ready to possess. And some of us are asking God, God, why do you keep saying no? A no from God is sometimes not a no forever. It's a not now. When God gives me a no, it means that there is something better somewhere down the line. When God gives me a no, what it is saying to me is, Brandon, the miracle is ready, but you ain't ready. And when you get ready, I'm going to roll back the Jordan River and let you. If the Jordan River has not opened, you and I are not ready. Because when it is ready, and when you are ready, when the miracle and the person receiving the miracle, when the promise and the promise pursuer are both ready, the Jordan River is going to roll back. And so God is not going to give his okay until we are proficient in the seven. Be strong, be courageous, do the word, don't get distracted, meditate on the word, don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged. You might say, well, I'm just going to do it on my own. I hope you can swim. Because the Jordan River does not stop flowing until God gives the word. And God does not give the word until you and I are ready. You know, sometimes as parents, we teach our kids lessons by letting them do something that they think they're ready for. Come on, Mom, take off the training wheels. I'm ready to ride a big boy bike. And she says no, because she knows you're going to end up in the thorn bush. You're going to end up falling off the curb. You're going to end up falling down on the sidewalk. But if you weary her with your asking, she's eventually going to say, all right, Johnny, let's take off the... And she will let you go through a season to teach you you are not ready. And then you get back up saying, can you put back on the training wheels? It's the same thing the people of God did in the wilderness. They said, God, we're tired of being in Egypt. Let us go. Deliver us. In the moment God delivers them into the wilderness, what do they start saying? God, I want to go back to bondage. I want to go back to slavery. Can I encourage you to pray the prayer, God, if I'm not ready, don't open the door. Because I know that when you open a door before me, when you roll back the Red Sea and the Jordan River, it is going to be a sign to me, to you, to the enemy, that I am ready to possess. It is interesting how many times the phrase be strong and of good courage is used, not only in the Bible, but in the first chapter of Joshua. The first time it's used is verse 6 that we just read, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. This is a conversation from God to Joshua about the people of God. He said, be strong and of good courage. It is a command and not a suggestion. Strength is a command, not a suggestion. Well, I hope I'm strong enough. Nope, God says you have to be strong enough before I bring you into the promised land. Because until you are strong enough, you're never going to be able to possess. And the problem with strength is strength does not happen in our flesh overnight. It takes time. But remember when Paul said, when I am weak, amen, God is made strong in the middle of that weakness. God, I thank you for your grace because of the thorn in my flesh that I've now asked you to remove three times and you haven't removed it. I've been praying the wrong prayer. I don't need you to change it. I need you to change me. And the way that you're going to change me, God, is you're going to give me a dose of your strength in the middle of my weakness. So when God says be strong, what he's really saying is quit hiding your weakness and showcase your weakness to me. Because when I see a weakness in you, what I really see is a platform for me to step in and bring all that I am in the middle of that weakness. One of the problems we have in the Western world and in Hollywood church is we love to showcase our strengths. Look at me. This is what I can do good. I'm really good at this. But when we come to God, God said, I don't want to see what you're good at. Because what you're good at, you can get used to doing that if I don't even show up. What I need from you is I need you to show me where you're weak, because it is in the weak places of your life that I'm going to step in. It is the weak places of your life that my anointing is the strongest. It is the weak places of your life that you listen to me a little more intently. It is the weak places of your life that cause you to worship deeper. It is the weak places of your life that causes you to offer a sacrifice of praise. It is the weak places of life that drive you to your knees and cause you to pray. I pray better. I worship better. I praise better. I give better. I serve better. Weakness, not my strength. Because where I am weak, he is made strong. But before I can even get to the made strong, where I am weak, he is. Where I am weak, he is. I got good news for you, brother. Where you're weak, he is. Well, everything's going right, but my marriage is going through a problem. And the biggest weak point in my life right now is my marriage. Oh, thank you so much for letting me know how to pray. But let me tell you something. Now that you've exposed your weakness, God says, your marriage is right where I'm at. That's where I'm focusing all of my attention. You're going to see the promises. You're going to see all the good that I put out in front of you. It's going to happen right there in the middle of be strong and of good courage. Courage is an amazing thing. Courage can happen just like this in the physical. But then you start talking about the Holy Ghost. Courage makes you square your shoulders. Courage makes you attack all of hell with just a water pistol. Come on. Courage does something. Courage puts Daniel in the lion's den. Courage puts David in front of Goliath. Courage puts a little maiden named Esther in front of the king. Courage will change your life. Courage takes advantage of every opportunity that is afforded to you. And so when God says, be strong, he said, in your weakness, I am made strong, but I need you to start acting like somebody. I need you to quit acting like you've been walking around in circles in the wilderness. And I need you to be raring to go on the banks of the Jordan River saying, God, the moment that you split this thing open, the moment, God, that you open the door of destiny in my life, I'm not going to slither through. I'm not going to sneak through. I'm not going to try to talk my way in. I am going to walk with a confidence and a boldness and the courage that God has given. If you want to hold the promise, if you want to possess strength and courage, they are mandatory and necessary in the process. The very next verse, God says it again, only be thou strong and very courageous. This is from God to Joshua still, only be strong and very courageous. Only means a focused strength. Some of the strongest people in the world in faith are sitting right here tonight. I look across this building from the front to the back. I see people on this front row that I admire. I see Brother Charlie Hartzell standing at attention back there at that door. I mean, he's ready to rock and roll. Whatever happens, he's ready. I see great people all the time. And the greatness of somebody all comes down to how focused they are. And there's some of us that in the first 3 weeks, 3 weeks ago, we had big vision, big plans, big promises in our eyes, in our mind, in our spirit. And somewhere along the last 3 weeks, we've lost focus. Most resolutions are broken by January 10th, almost 90% of them, all because people that were so hype on January 2nd, something happens on January 6th, and then they get bad news on January 8th. And on January 10th, they're already starting to talk about next year. And I'll start then, and I'll start when. It's because their strength was broken. It's because their focus was broken. When he says, only be thou strong, he said it is the only way that you can live in the promised land is to be a person of strength and to be a person of courage, is to be strong and courageous. Only equals focus, strength. I love when he says very courageous. Very means extreme and exceeding. And so extreme and exceeding courage. This is courage that goes beyond UFC. Courage that goes beyond the Olympics and any sport field. Courage that goes beyond any military power. This is a courage that is only given and inspired by the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that allows this man standing before you to be able to stand toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with the adversary, and back him down out of my life every single time. Why? Because God has given me a focus, God has given me a strength, and God has given me extreme and exceeding courage. Only be strong and courageous. There is some stuff, let's just put it out, there's some stuff in between you and your promise. The stuff in between you and your promise cannot be what you focus on. Your focus is not on the mess. Your focus is on the miracle. Your focus is not what's coming against you. Your focus is what's about to come out of you. Your focus is not on the giants. Your focus is on the promise that God has put in your life. Too many of us in life get a great promise on Sunday, and then when we see the giants or the devil show up on Tuesday, we start backing down, we get timid, we get shy, we lose the courage, we lose the strength. Angela and James aren't singing, the praise and worship team's not there, Bishop hadn't preached us happy that morning, and what happens? We break focus. We break focus, and when we break focus, now we're looking at it instead of looking at him. We're looking at them instead of looking at the promise. Remember the 12 spies. There was 10 spies that couldn't see the promise because they were looking at the giants. And there was 2 spies that couldn't see the giants because they were looking at the promise. And the great thing about God is he gives us the ability to choose that. And so tomorrow, my day is going to have some problems, but I don't choose to look at the problems. I choose to look at the solution. His name is Jesus. This week, you're going to have some lows, but listen, you don't have to stay there. You can stay focused, laser focused on what God has for you. Joshua 1:9, the third time, here he says it again, have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? In four verses, the conversation from God to Joshua, and Joshua is about to give this speech to all of the nation of Israel, moving them from lack into promise, moving them from wilderness into the promised land to possess. And the third time in 4 verses, he says, have not I commanded you to be strong? It is a reminder to be strong and courageous. It is a reminder saying the God that has brought us for 40 years through the wilderness is going to roll back the Jordan River, and we're going to go into a land. We're going to live in homes we didn't build. We're going to own businesses we didn't build. We're going to get healthy. We're going to get fat. We're going to be blessed. We're going to get the favor of God in our lives. We have to get to the place, though, where we always don't have to live with the reminders all the time. God shouldn't have to wake us up reminding us of what he did to get us so jacked up that we can go face the world tomorrow. See, tomorrow morning when your alarm goes off, you ought to jump out of bed. Why? Because God's giving you another chance. Because God's giving you great land. Because the promise that you didn't hold on Wednesday, you might hold it on Thursday. And if not by Thursday, I'm sure by Friday. And so when the alarm goes off, God shouldn't have to say, well, I brought you the last 38 years, Brandon, and I've got some big things in store for you in the next 38 years. I already know my God. I already know what he did for me. He's kept me these last 40 years in the wilderness. He softened Pharaoh's heart for me to get out of that mess, and there is a promised land to possess. God, if you want to remind me, you can remind me on the run because I am running towards my destiny. Tyler 16, I'm 38. Without fail, tomorrow at 6:45, whether I set an alarm or not, Brandon's going to wake up. Tyler could set 3 alarms, And one of them could be a nuclear bomb that goes off in Seguin. And he's still going to be under them covers. And we're going to wake him up three times. Are you up? Yeah, I'm up. He's a young man that has to be reminded. You got to get up. There's a world out there waiting for you. You got to get up. School starts in 15 minutes. You got to get up. Church is happening. You got to get up. And I'll sit in my office at the house, and I'll hear his alarm go off for 15 minutes until I'm so annoyed that I get up and go turn it off myself. And I wake him up in the process. Hey, quit setting these alarms if you're not going. I didn't hear it. He has to be reminded. If you always have to be reminded by someone else or God of his greatness, you are an immature, milk-eating believer. But for those of us on a Wednesday night, we like steak. We like milk to steak. God, if you don't do anything else, you don't have to do anything. I'm still in love with you. I'm still going to follow you. Why? When the old-timers say, if he don't do anything else, he's already done enough, what they're saying is I remember everything that he brought me through. I remember my lowest point when everybody was gone, but God was still there. I remember the promise from 1986 that has not yet come to pass in 2020. And so when I wake up, I don't have to have the right podcast. I don't have to have the right two songs on my podcast. I don't have to have none of that. I roll out of bed saying, God, you are a good God. Why do I say that? Because of what he's done in my life, he's still good. And this time next year, he's going to be that much better. I appreciate the reminders, but I don't need them. Three times, be strong and courageous. Second time, only be strong and courageous. Third time, meaning don't forget, be strong and courageous. There's no need to go to that land if you're not going to be strong and courageous. There's no need. There's no need in God giving you that job if you're going to act there like you act at the last job. There's no need in God giving you another spouse when the first four didn't work out. Remember, you're the common denominator. A lot of times we're asking God for new, but we refuse to be new. We refuse to grow. We refuse to mature. And so, God, maturity says, I don't need to be continually reminded. I appreciate all the reminders, but God, you've done so much for me, and it continually goes off in my head. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, Joshua moves from talking to God, and now he's talking to the people, and he tells the people, get ready. In 3 days, we're getting ready to cross over to possess. Joshua reminds the people of Israel of the promise to possess. That is something that we have to do, and I think we need to do a better job of, is not only remembering what he's done, remembering what he's promised that hasn't come to pass. We use those as prayer points. God, I know you are a God of your word. You are not a man that you should lie. Your promises are yes and amen. And by your spirit, God, the right timing is going to happen. God, the right job. God, the right person. God, the right ministry. God, the right open door. And so how are we reminded of the promise to possess? We must continually read that promise in the Word of God. 66 books, 6,000 promises. We've got to write the vision and make it plain. Because when you write that vision, you're going to stare at it every day. And you're going to talk to God about it every day. And you're going to make sure that you are ready for the promise. I love this. Now we get to where the people of God start talking back. We've heard God talk to Joshua. We've heard Joshua talk to the people. But now we hear the people start talking back. When you find your voice of faith, obedience, the season of manifestation and possessing begins. Let me say that again. When you find your voice of faith and obedience, your season of manifestation and possessing begins. When you don't have to have someone else talk for you, when you don't have to have Bishop believe for you, when you don't have to have all of these other people working for you, but you say, I have matured to the place now that I can work my own faith, I can declare the promises of God. And let me tell you something, young people in this room today, that doesn't magically happen when you're 21. The Bible says, and a child shall lead them. The Bible is complete and replete of young people being used of God because they said, God, it's not going to take me 40 years to find my voice like it did Joshua. I'm going to find my voice at 12, at 14, and I'm going to begin to create my world. I'm going to begin to create what I want to see. I'm going to begin to declare the promises of God, the promises of the Lord. It's time to get your voice back, Living Way. I love that you come on Wednesday night. I love that you come on Sunday. But can I encourage you on Monday? The devil needs to hear your voice. God needs to hear your voice. There's nothing that it does something to God when he hears his word coming out of your mouth. It does something to the adversary. The adversary takes three steps back out of your life saying, I didn't know they knew that word. I didn't know they knew that promise. I've been trying to attack them over here, but now hearing them today, they've gotten their voice back. You can tell you are close to possessing when you start talking with a no matter what faith. I love this. Joshua 1, 16, the people start talking back and they answer. Joshua saying, everything that you command us, we will do. Where you send us, we will go. Two things they said, we do, we go. Do, we go. Whatever God tells you, Joshua, tell us because we're going to do it. No questions asked. Wherever God tells you to tell us to go, tell us because we're going to go to that place. Can I encourage you in 2020, we don't have time for you to fleece God and have another 21-day fast and pray for 40 days about something that God is leading you to do because you don't want to put the promise that God wants you to have in January. You don't want to push it to April or 2021. You want to be able to say, God, if you call me to do it, I'm going to do it on January 23rd, 2020. If you call me to go to that place, that's where I'm going because whatever you tell me to do and wherever you tell me to go, that is going to be the place that I possess. Come on now, activity and direction. There it is again, verse 17. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Here we are, verse 18. I love this. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. That's strong words. Part of us has to die before we can go to the promised land. No flesh shall glory in his presence. So you got to get rid of some old mindsets before you go to the promised land. You got to get rid of some relationships before you go to the promised land. You've got to get comfortable blocking people on social media and blocking them in real life. You've got to make sure that your eyes are focused, that you've got a strength, and a courage. I love what they say. It said, he shall be put to death if he doesn't hearken to your commands. Only be strong and of good courage. The first three times that this is mentioned in 6, 7, and 9 of Joshua chapter 1, it is God talking to Joshua. The final time in chapter 1 that it is said, guess who's saying it? The people. God said it enough that the people started saying it. God said, you say, why does God keep telling me this? Because you won't say it back. God keeps saying it until he's drilled it in my head to where I start saying it back to him. Come on, all the moms in the house. You remember when you look at that baby and you'd say, mama, mama. And then dad breezes in and says it twice, and then that baby says it. But chances are mama was the first because you got in his face. Then when they said it back to you, back in the old days, you told everybody. Now you record it. You Snapchat it. You put it on TikTok. You do all of these things. You let everybody know what? As a mother, child is now knows who I am, says what I say. Come on, people of God. If we're going to possess, we've got to know who God is. We got to know who our Father is. And we need to be able to say what he says. And so at the end of chapter 1, I've never preached this far into Joshua. At the end of chapter 1, the people finally raise up and say, as God was with Moses, he is with you, Joshua, and we see that. Where you tell us to do, what you tell us to do, we're going to do it. Where you tell us to go, we're going to go to that place. And then they say, and at the end of the process, we are only going to be strong and of good courage. And God said, that's it, Joshua. That's what I've been waiting on. I've been waiting for people to rise up and prepare themselves. These people are prepared. You better get the trumpets ready. You better get the priests ready. You better get them to the edge of the Jordan River, because I'm getting ready to do what only I can do, because the people of God have risen to the place in obedience. They're speaking, they're declaring, and they're ready to move. Stand on your feet. I didn't want to go this far, but as you're standing, we're going to go there real quick, real quick. Joshua chapter 2. When we go to Joshua chapter 2, something amazing happens. A woman by the name of Rahab is introduced. When Rahab is introduced, we know the story of Rahab, and we might go back there next week, but I want to go to verse 11 because it ties all of what I've said in so good. When Rahab has hidden the two spies, and the king of Jericho has sent men to find the two spies, and she hides them and they leave, she has a conversation with them, and this is the conversation. As soon as we had heard the things in verse 11, as soon as we had heard the things mentioned, and she's talking about what God had promised, our hearts did melt. Talking about all of the enemies in the promised land. Our hearts did melt, and neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Oh, I love this. What God had told his people, be strong, have courage. First person they talked to in the promised land, the first two spies that went into the promised land, she says, I don't know what happened to our people, but they got fearful and they lost their courage. And I love what God showed me. Either the enemy plays the courage card or believers play the courage card. But you can't both be courageous. Either he's courageous or I'm courageous. Either they're courageous or you're courageous. And so if you say, man, I don't feel courageous, that's a bad sign. It means the enemy has the courage. But the moment that I become strong, the moment that you become strong, only strong, focus strength, the moment you become strong, square your shoulders and say, I'm looking for a devil to fight. That is when the Bible says, resist him and he will flee from you. Why does he flee? Because you've stolen his courage, and now you're the only one in the boxing ring that has courage. You're the only one on the battlefield that has courage. Everything changed for the nation of Israel when David ran into the valley with courage. Everybody else had courage, lost against Goliath. He's the only one in the valley that had courage. David shows up and says, nope, there's only one of us that can have courage. I've got it. Goliath, you're a dead man. You leave. Tomorrow night, tonight, or tomorrow, you got courage. Don't let the devil take it. The Bible says this, cast not away your confidence, your courage, because when you cast it away, he picks it up. And now he's courageous and you're not. Rahab tells them a secret. You've already won. We know what God's promised you. You've got the courage. We've lost it. I just pray that you'd have mercy on me and my family, which they do. Come on now. You've got everything you need. We're getting ready to cross over. We got one more week, and then we're going to talk about the crossing over next session. There's a lot of great things in front of you, but if what I've talked about tonight and your strength and your courage, if you've got a weakness that you're tired of dealing with and you say, I keep praying about this weakness and it's still there, I'm going to ask you to change your prayer tonight, and I'm just going to ask God, be strong in my weakness. God, let your grace be sufficient enough in my weakness. If that's you, I need you to come down. Come on, if you got a weakness you're tired of carrying, I need you to join me. You don't have to tell us your weakness. You don't have to tell us your secret. You don't have to tell us what you're going through. I do encourage you, maybe get some accountability in your life, but the Bible doesn't say you have to have accountability for God to show himself strong on your behalf. He said, you show me your weakness, and in that weakness, I'm made strong. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional. I don't know what it is in your life, but I do know this. Jesus is big enough or small enough to fill any void in your life. Whatever you need him to do, he will do. But you're going to have enough strength to get out of your seat and join us in this altar. You're going to have enough courage to say, I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I don't care what they see me going to that altar, and I've got things going on, and And it's none of their business what I'm going through. I'm going to take that step, and then I'm going to take another step, and I'm going to go down to that place, and I'm going to get myself right. And I'm going to tell you, for those of you in this altar today, can I just prophesy that tomorrow morning you're going to see the Jordan River part. You're going to see God make a way where there seems to be no way. You're going to show up to the job tomorrow, and that thorn that has been in your flesh will have been moved to another department, would have been moved up a floor. You're not going to have to deal with that Goliath any longer. You're not going to have to deal with those things. You're getting ready to possess what God has called you to possess. Only be strong. Be very courageous. Focused faith, exceeding courage. Focus, strength, exceeding courage. If you're in this place today, I want you to, in this altar, I want you to lift both hands. I'm done. If you're in this house today and you need salvation, I need you to join me. This world is rocking, it's quaking, it's shaking. You need Jesus. When I leave this place today, I'm leaving with courage. God's working for me. God's work today, man, I was standing in Bishop's office going through my mail, opened up an unexpected, I'm talking about as unexpected as you can get, and coming from one of the craziest sources that I've ever received, an unexpected check for $1,949.37. I said, God, he said, you're possessing. You're moving into a new realm. You're just what you're praying for. I'm just going to start sending it your way. You're living in the boundaries. I'm going to start sending it your way. I don't want to live without Jesus. He's my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. Whatever you need from Jesus, you can find right here. If that's you, join us. You're not sure you're going to heaven, join us. You don't know who Jesus is, join us. Accept him into your life. Confess who he is, and to change your eternal destination and your life. You're now here on earth. Our baptistry is ready. We're going to baptize you. If you're ready to be baptized tonight, we're going to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. But for those of you in this altar today, possession. You're about to hold it. You're about to see it. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray.